We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Pony Express.
And I'm coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Some baseball games about to start. Still a few days away from week one in earnest of the NFL preseason. Still 4 weeks of exhibition football before the real thing. And the first wave of games will be Thursday, a few more on Friday, a couple on Saturday. And like clockwork, every year, because the Alliance of American Football experiment was short-lived, and from what I saw of it, not worth compelling enough to watch, and most everybody agreed with me, the league went bankrupt and folded before the season was even over. It's been way too long since we've had football. The distance, the time makes the heart grow fonder. We've all missed it. Hall of Fame game Thursday, Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony last night. Thursday we'll get here. I'll look at some of the NFL preseason games. I will immediately get excited that there are a bunch of games on. I will try to watch them. And I don't even think I'll make it to halftime. Somewhere in the second quarter of one of those games, I want to take whatever sharp object is near me and blind myself. That is the rite of passage for a sports fan in August. NFL preseason football, hooray, yippee, football's here. And then 10 minutes into it, you remember why the NFL wants to get rid of the preseason so badly. Because the product is awful. And the coaches should be able to put together a roster without an entire month of games. It's pretty much a ripoff for fans, too, the ones that have to pay full price as part of season ticket packages to go to those games. I want to talk about Tom Brady. Last week on the show, I said 2018 proved to me that right now, Bill Belichick is more important to the Patriots than Tom Brady. The MVP of that franchise right now, and maybe that wasn't true 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. In year 20 of Tom Brady, Bill Belichick is the most important person inside the Patriots organization. And I got a lot of feedback on that, most of it from angry Patriots fans who wanted to stick up for their quarterback more than their coach. Who said to consider anybody but Brady to be the reason why the Patriots have six Super Bowl rings is basically apostasy. It's complete heresy. Tom Brady turned 42 yesterday. He has no contract for next year, which is a subplot to this season. I don't understand why Robert Kraft wouldn't say, hey, Tom, you want 3 years? You're going to play until 45. You want four? We'll do four. You name the price. We'll do it. You want to continue to take less because you like that we can round out the roster and put better players around you, and you've made a lot of money in 19 years, plus your wife is filthy rich. Basically, let Tom Brady call the shot. So I think that's very weird that he doesn't have a contract extension for 2020 and beyond. I also thought it was wrong, and this is going to get me in hot water again. I also thought the NFL players made a mistake ranking Brady as high as they did in their top 100 player poll. That series wrapped up this week on NFL Network. NFL players pick the 100 best players in the league right now. They do this every year. I think they've been doing it since 2011. Brady's been the number one player before. This year, that honor went to Aaron Donald. No complaint here. Aaron Donald, not only the best defensive player in the league, but in my opinion, the best player, period, in the league. And his peers agreed. So Aaron Donald was one. Drew Brees, two. Patrick Mahomes was four. Tom Brady came in at six. Six overall, third among quarterbacks behind Drew Brees and Patrick Mahomes. And I thought that was high. I thought that was NFL players paying homage to Tom Brady and showing him respect for being the greatest football player of all time. That after winning a Super Bowl, influenced by that, New England won another championship. That's the whole point of all this, is to win championships, to hang banners, to win rings, to have parades. And he quarterbacked another team to a championship, so I can't penalize him or deduct from his stature in the game. I don't want to. I think most players probably had a hard time, having watched the Patriots win the Super Bowl, rank, say, five or six quarterbacks ahead of Tom Brady right now. But if you're objective, that's what should have happened. If you take out the team achievement and grade Tom Brady on what he did in 2018 and where he is among quarterbacks today, not for his career, but today, Tom Brady can't be the third-ranked quarterback in the league. I'm sorry. And just kind of flippantly throwing out there that he should be the number one ranked player in the league or should be the number one ranked quarterback because he won the Super Bowl is being, I think, disingenuous or dishonest. Because how far does that logic take you? If Tom Brady deserves to be the highest ranked quarterback in the league today because the Patriots won another championship, by that same logic, you have to put Jared Goff too. And then we just rank quarterbacks by how far their teams went last season. So if you play that whole thing out, that means that there's probably still 15 quarterbacks better than Baker Mayfield. That means that Matt Ryan, even though he had 35 touchdowns last year, is a below average quarterback. That means that Mitch Trubisky is a top 10 quarterback because the Bears won their division. That means Aaron Rodgers is not one of the 12 best quarterbacks in the league because his team missed the playoffs. It can't all, I know winning matters, but it's a team game. Tom Brady, after a week off because of the bye week, was able to rest his ailing knee and came out and was really good against the Chargers in the divisional playoff round in Foxborough. He was far from great in the AFC Championship game. He threw one touchdown pass and two interceptions. And then in the Super Bowl, New England beat LA 13-3. No touchdown passes through the first. His first pass attempt of the game was picked off. The Patriots didn't win the Super Bowl because of Tom Brady. They won the Super Bowl because they held the second best offense in the league to 3 points. Tom Brady, number six in the NFL top 100, third among quarterbacks, that's not disrespectful. That's overrating Tom Brady based on things that happened years ago. And that's not supposed to be relevant with this. This isn't a career. These players were tasked with putting together the best 100 players in the NFL today, not ranking them by career resume. If you did it that way, Eli Manning would be ahead of Patrick Mahomes because Eli Manning has more career passing yards, more career touchdowns. He's won 2 Super Bowl MVPs. He's been a champion twice. It's not about what you did 5 years ago. It's about what you're doing right now. How would you like to be Andrew Luck? So take Andrew Luck, for example, here, for instance. Andrew Luck last year had more passing yards than Tom Brady. He had more touchdowns than Tom Brady. He had a higher passer rating than Tom Brady. Andrew Luck had a rookie coach. Tom Brady had Bill Belichick. Andrew Luck turned Eric Ebron into Rob Gronkowski after Ebron stunk, was terrible in Detroit. Andrew Luck had running back by committee. He was better across the board in every major meaningful statistic. He didn't have a great coach. He had somebody that was in his first year on the job. He took players that, this is Brady-esque, this is Brady, what one of the things that has made Brady so great is that you could pretty much give him any set of wide receivers and he'd find a way to make him productive. Andrew Luck had Eric Ebron as his tight end, and he made him one of the best red zone targets in the entire league. Right now, Andrew Luck is better than Tom Brady. Right now. And he should be. Andrew Luck's in his mid to late 20s. Tom Brady is 42 years old. Like, Tom Brady is the greatest 40-plus-year-old player in NFL history. What he did at 41 years old, judging him in that way, what he should be doing at his age, he should be out of football. To win a Super Bowl at that age is incredibly impressive. But that doesn't make him the best quarterback in the league. It can't have him in the top three. Because this is supposed to be based on where you're at in your career right now. And what did Tom Brady do last year to make himself better than Patrick Mahomes, Drew Brees, Andrew Luck? In this player's poll, he's overrated. At 42 years old now, Tom Brady is not the 6th best player in the NFL and the 3rd best quarterback. And yet, even outside of New England, not just Patriots fans, I get why they would be subjective, but even outside New England, when this poll was debated and discussed, so many thought that Brady got a raw deal. Well, really, take inventory, take stock of his season last year. Yes, he won a championship. Amazing. But he wasn't anywhere close to the most productive quarterback in the league. And he wasn't good in the playoffs. He was good. He was not great in the playoffs. He didn't carry the Patriots. They won the championship game and they won the Super Bowl because of defense mostly. And that's why I said right now, Belichick is more valuable to the Patriots than Tom Brady. I think the NFL players overrated Tom Brady at 42 years old. Do you agree or disagree with me on that? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Is Tom Brady at 6th overall in this player poll, 3rd among quarterbacks? Is that overrated, underrated, rated just right? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. My name's Andrew Filippone. It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Pony Express.
CBS Sports Radio's phone number is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Am I the only one who feels like Hall of Fames are overrated? And that they're just so watered down now? They're just so watered down. And that's what happens when the Hall of Fame is a business that puts on an event that makes money for the Hall of Fame, that keeps people who worked for the Hall of Fame employed, who build a weekend around an enshrinement ceremony and, in the NFL's case, a game. And every year they've got to put a minimum of 4 people in. At least 4 every year. Because they need an event. There might not be 4 worthy candidates, but they have to find a way to put 4 in. Because that's what the Pro Football Hall of Fame has determined or decided. They need 4 players or 4 people associated with football to bring out at least 4 different fan bases, to fill up the stadium in Canton and to put on a game and to fill up hotel rooms and to make the local economy money for the week. Hall of Fame should be way more exclusive. Hall of Fames, I think, should really just be for the first ballot inductees. That's it. If you're not good enough to get in on your first try, what makes your case for the Hall of Fame better 2 years after you start, you stop, or in this case, it'd be 5 years is when you're eligible. What's the difference between your case or your resume for Canton 5 years in versus 6 years out? If you're not good enough to get in on the first try, what makes you qualified or good enough to get in on the third try or the fifth try? And then for those players who go through that full process, they have committees, special committees that put the players in who have slipped through the cracks. Well, we feel sorry that this guy had to wait 30 years. Let's put him in now. It's not about making everybody feel happy or satisfied or content or placating every fan base and every team and every owner. It's about rewarding the excellence of the smallest group of players. And I want my Hall of Fames to be reserved for iconic all-time greats. And if it's close, I would rather side on let's keep the person out than put him in. And reserve Hall of Fames, reserve that space for the no-doubters, for the players and for the individuals who absolutely shaped and changed the game. And not just somebody because they had a really strong 3 or 4 year run and, well, we've already put this player in, so if this player is a Hall of Famer, well then we have to include this new guy. And that's a problem, I think, with every Hall of Fame. We definitely reached that point again during this wave of baseball Hall of Fame inductees where Harold Baines and Lee Smith and Edgar Martinez, who didn't even play the field, were these players who were in their local markets for their individual teams were Hall of Famers. Edgar Martinez is a Seattle Mariner Hall of Famer. Harold Baines is probably a Chicago White Sox Hall of Famer. But they're not Hall of Famers in the global sense. Harold Baines shouldn't be in the same room as Babe Ruth. Right? That one's easy. And then for the Hall of Fame, for the Football Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony last night, like Tony Gonzalez, done. Ed Reed, done. The rest of the guys that got in, if we have to live in a world where we consider Champ Bailey and Ty Law and Johnny Robinson great in their own right, but just not good enough to crack Canton, I'd prefer it that way than having a room full of busts and you're walking your kid through there one day and you're like, wait a minute, he's a Hall of Famer? I watched him play. He was fine, but I think Hall of Famers, it's a very select group, but this is how I would do it. You kind of know them when you see them. When there's not a lot of debate. I don't think a lot of time was wasted going back and forth on Tony Gonzalez. Whoever was in charge of presenting him to the committee members, were his stats and contributions really necessary? My guess is the men and women who walked into that room knew that they were going to give Tony Gonzalez a yes vote because his career kind of speaks for itself. He's the most accomplished tight end in the history of the game. And those are the types of players who should be going into the Hall of Fame. Not, well, you know, this guy from the 60s was awesome. And, you know, 50 years later, we're finally kind of getting an appreciation of what this player was. Really? Like, it's for that person's family and for that fan base, it's a nice moment. But every time you do that, you water down the caliber of your Hall of Fame. And when you put a minimum number on it and say, no matter what, we got to make sure we get four. Well, you do that every year and you're going to have at least one candidate or two who gets in who's probably not worthy of it. And I would even limit the number of people who you could have in the Hall of Fame. Like, all right, if we got to now take somebody out to add this person in, let's do that. So there's always like 50 people or 100 people in there and no more. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. An NBA move got made that I wanted to discuss because I feel like there's a great betting opportunity for 2019 out there. And I live in a place now where we're live, man. We've got apps on phones that let you bet on sports. We've got casinos that have sports books where I am in Pennsylvania. And so this thing continues to take off, and I think there's a great NBA betting opportunity out there. I'll tell you what that is coming up after this update. You can follow me on Twitter, at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can follow us on Twitter, at CBS Sports Radio. The phone number is 855-212-4CBS.
This is the Pony Express.
What timing? We're just talking about Tom Brady earlier in the hour and how his contract situation was a major subplot going into the start of this season, and that has been resolved. A 2-year extension for Brady through 2021. He gets a raise this season that takes him from $15 million to $23 million. Now, the terms of the contract, what it's worth in all, like what he's going to get paid in 2020 and 2021, those details are not out yet. But we know as part of this deal, Brady's getting 2 years tacked on, and they're going to give him, the Patriots are going to give him an $8 million raise for this year. $23 million for Tom Brady this year. There are six quarterbacks who this season will make more money than that. Ben Roethlisberger, who signed a 2-year, $68 million extension with the Steelers because of signing bonus up front. Ben has taken $45 million home this year. He's taken home $45 million. He's won. Matt Ryan is $2, $44.7 million. Russell Wilson signed a new extension. He's $3 at $35 million. Nick Foles got a contract in Jacksonville with signing bonus money. He's $4 at $31 million. Kirk Cousins is $5, $28 million. Kyler Murray, a rookie, signing bonus money from being the first pick in the draft, all told, he's going to take home $24 million this year. Brady is seventh. A quarterback with more leverage than anyone in the league is seventh on this list. The greatest quarterback of all time who has listened and has heard the Kraft family say things like, Tom Brady's a surrogate Kraft. Jonathan Kraft has said he's my kind of brother. We treat him like family. Robert Kraft has said he'll retire when he feels like it. Like, it's not our decision. He's earned the right to tell us when he's done. He'll be allowed to play quarterback here for as long as he wants. Things that never get said in professional sports. The teams call the shots, not the players. The billionaires have more leverage on the millionaires. And they grant Tom Brady an exception. They give him, verbally, a license to get and do whatever he wants. And Tom Brady very rarely takes the Patriots up on it. If you believe what ESPN reported a couple of years ago, Tom Brady went to Robert Kraft and said, get Jimmy Garoppolo off the roster. Once in a while, he'll put his foot down. He'll go to Robert Kraft and say, if Rob Gronkowski's gone, if he gets traded, I'm gone. But he doesn't flex his muscle financially. And that is one of the most interesting things about the way the Patriots operate and the way Tom Brady goes about his business. Because I can tell you one very powerful group, although not as powerful as they'd like to be, one very powerful group that has to absolutely loathe and detest what Tom Brady does. The NFL Players Union. The NFL Players Association wants their players compensated for what they're worth at market value. Tom Brady is not a $23 million quarterback. When his contract is up, he should demand, he could demand, to be the highest paid player in the league by far. And what is interesting about that is, you know, he's such a team first guy, such a competitive guy. That's what keeps him from demanding all that money. At least that's what gets said. He's competitive. His wife is rich. His wife's worth $500 million. He doesn't need the money. He's happy with what he's made. It's over $200 million. How much more does a guy need? Let that extra $10 or $15 million, let the Patriots use it to bring in a number one corner or another edge rusher or another weapon for Tom Brady in the offense. You're the Players Association, you have to hate that. Tom Brady is what? If Ben Roethlisberger is a $35 million a year quarterback, $34 million, 2 year, $68 million extension. If Ben is worth $34 million a year, what is Tom Brady worth? Especially to the Patriots. The guy could name his price and he doesn't. And in one way, that's admirable. In another way, it makes me scratch my head. I think it's kind of fishy. The Patriots have a relationship with TB12, his whole conditioning and sports medicine and sports science company, TB12, with Alex Guerrero, and this kind of wholesome way of looking at training and conditioning and your diet means so much and pliability and all this crap that his TB12 company boasts about. And I just wonder sometimes if that's why Brady takes less. Is it because the Patriots funnel money to that organization? Tom Brady gets a raise from $15 million to $23 million in 2019. And when he doesn't take big money, when Tom Brady doesn't demand to be the highest paid quarterback or doesn't demand to be paid commensurate or close to what his peers are making, he makes his peers look bad. He makes Ben Roethlisberger at 37 years old look bad for wanting what he's worth. He makes Aaron Rodgers look bad. Hasn't been to a Super Bowl since 2010. For getting every penny from the Packers. He'll make Philip Rivers look bad when Rivers gets $36, $37 million a year from the Chargers. And people like me who have this job will say, well, if Philip Rivers really wanted to win, he'd give the Chargers a hometown discount the same way Tom Brady does. And when Drew Brees goes back, and that's going to happen after this year, when Drew Brees wants an extension from the Saints because he's not ready to retire, and he asks for $40 million a year, and then the Saints go 11-5 and lose in the first round, people will say, well, maybe if Drew Brees had acted like Tom Brady, you know, if he really cares about his legacy and he cares about his team, he'll take less to try to win a second championship. That would have to be infuriating. If you're an agent, if you're D'Amore Smith, it's got to bug you that Tom Brady takes such a colossal hometown discount. I guess the moral of the story is to marry a rich woman so your salary doesn't mean or matter that much. I don't know. Andrew Filippone, The Pony Express, CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. I said I had an NBA bet that I liked. And it's on the heels of Draymond Green signing an extension, a four-year max extension with the Warriors, 4 years, $100 million. I was not a fan of the Warriors the last few years. I wanted them to lose. I openly rooted against them. They became a villainous NBA team to me once the Kevin Durant signing happened, and I didn't want to see manufacturing a team, building a team that way work, where they were far and away the best team on paper in the NBA, and I typically want to root for the underdog and not the monolithic stacked team. So Durant leaving there made me happy. It also kind of opens me up to look at the Warriors a little bit more objectively. And I got to be honest with you. I know that Klay Thompson is out for the year. I think the Warriors are very much under the radar right now. Because in this era of the NBA where you have teams that are trying to be very top-heavy. These aren't teams, and the Raptors were a little bit different. Most teams try to attract two or three stars and then fill out the rest of the roster and maybe look on the margins for talent and try to find a veteran on a cheaper deal, maybe coming off an injury, or, you know, the analytics will say this guy's underrated because he isn't taking a lot of threes, but give him a few more and you'll get a better player. And in this era where it's like we immediately look at contending teams and compare them based on their two best players or their three best players. And when you do that with the Warriors, I still think they're right there. I've actually amended some of my thoughts from a month ago on them. I think they will go into this year as probably the fourth or fifth choice in the West, behind the two LA teams, behind probably Utah and Houston. Maybe Golden State will be the fourth choice. They could be the fifth to win the West. You've got the best three-point shooter in the league in Steph Curry. He takes more and makes more than anybody. He's the most efficient long-range shooter in the NBA. Draymond Green has made five straight all-NBA defensive teams. And they bring in D'Angelo Russell, who we'll see if it gels and if it works, but it can. He was a 21-7 player last year. Now, I know the ball was in his hands a lot more in Brooklyn than it probably will be in Golden State playing with Curry, but he can get up and down the floor, and I think Steve Kerr can not, he's not going to fill the Klay Thompson role, but maybe you play Curry off the ball a little bit more, and Russell gets him the ball in more advantageous spots, and if the defense is all in on Curry, well then Russell's a guy that can get to the basket and penetrate and dish to people. So I like that move for them. The more and more I think about it. And I would say, if we're talking about big threes, and there have been so many big threes that have won championships in recent years, Bosch, LeBron, and Wade, you had Love, LeBron, and Kyrie in Cleveland. You had the big four in Golden State. But, you know, usually, can you find three stars? The Bulls dynasty, Jordan, Pippen, Rodman. What's the best big three in the West? LeBron and Anthony Davis, that's a pretty good 1-2 punch if they can stay healthy, if Anthony Davis can stay on the floor. And I'm not as high on Kyle Kuzma. I think we've kind of put the cart before the horse with him. What is Kyle Kuzma? He's a slasher. He's not going to really do anything defensively that puts a smile on your face. He's not a stretch four. He's not someone that's knocking down threes. He scored a lot of points in L.A. last year, mostly because he got a lot of shots. And Chris Bosh will tell you, when you're the third wheel playing with two other stars, you see the ball less. And I think Bosh is a better shooter and better rebounder than Kuzma. So I think we've set expectations for him way too high. With the Clippers, after Leonard and George, who's their best player? Lou Williams? Even now, if I'm looking at the teams in California who are title contenders, Golden State's big three is better than the Lakers and Clippers. Provided D'Angelo Russell goes there and is anywhere close to the player he was in Brooklyn. And, okay, that might not be the smoothest transition, and there's a question mark whenever a player changes teams, but all right, the Clippers have two stars who are changing teams. And let's see what Anthony Davis does leaving New Orleans, where there weren't many expectations for LA, where he's got to play kind of in LeBron James's shadow. I think you can buy the Warriors at value now, and they're not the favorite, and they probably won't win it, but I also don't think they're dead. All right, thanks to everybody who listened this morning. I'll be back next Sunday in the same spot, 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific. 10 to 2 Eastern, it's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.